Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
My guest is Jay Haas, Mr. Consistent, winner of 9 titles on the PGA Tour, 18 titles on the PGA Champions Tour. Jay played on the Presidents Cup team, a Ryder Cup team, and I know he won on the Champions Tour while also playing on the PGA Tour. Happy Father's Day, Jay. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Ann. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
When you think of a golf family, you think of a Haas family. Certainly at the top of the list. I know you're the nephew of Bob Golby, who won the Masters back in 68. Your son Bill plays on the PGA Tour. Your son Jay Jr., whom I had the pleasure of sitting next to at the Breakfast of Champions in Greenville. He used to be on the PGA Tour. Now he's a golf instructor at the Haas Family Golf Facility in Greenville. And your brother Jerry is a golf coach, correct, at Wake Forest?
That's correct. Yeah, golf's been on in our family for a long time. Uncle Bob started it, taught me the game, and also my brother Jerry. And then Jay and Bill just kind of took to the game. Bill has had some great success on the PGA Tour, and Jay now teaching the game. So it's been our life for such a long time. Can't remember anything else.
It's certainly in your family's DNA. Is there anybody who doesn't play golf in your family?
Well, we also have 3 daughters, and they play a little bit, but they don't have the passion for it like the boys did in the game. But my wife's starting to play a little bit now, and it's just a great family game. Can't say enough about it.
I know you have a passion for baseball as well. You and Roger Clemens, we were all having a great conversation two weeks ago in Greenville. And I know you were at that game, got rained out last night, right? The Cardinals-Braves game that you were supposed to go to?
Well, it did, yes. We're down in Atlanta, actually, and it's been rescheduled for 2 o'clock today. So we're going to hit that game, and then we've got everybody coming down, kind of a Father's Day celebration for the Sunday night game. So it's a full day of baseball. I've been a Cardinal fan all my life. I grew up just outside of St. Louis, so saw some great teams back in the 60s and just been a fan ever since.
Well, that is a terrific Father's Day for sure. So let's talk about the U.S. Open. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it yesterday, but, you know, you have Mackenzie Hughes, the Canadian, who hadn't played he hadn't made a U.S. Open cut in his 3 previous U.S. Opens. He's in a 3-way tie for the lead at 5-under. You have Louis Oosthuizen, who has had 4 second-place finishes in majors, as well as winning that Open Championship back in 2010. And you have Russell Henley, the 32-year-old former Georgia Bulldog, who has won 3 PGA Tour titles. And what are your thoughts? I mean, anything can happen because the leaderboard is so tight.
Well, exactly right. I did get a chance to watch a good bit of it yesterday afternoon, and I think so many good players, and I, you know, lump Louis in there and John Rahm and so many guys that have had great success throughout their careers. They're up there on the leaderboard this week. I looked at the top 20, and there's probably a dozen guys who, if they won the tournament, you'd say, well, yeah, they're expected to win. So a bunch of good players are playing well right now. That course looked really hard on TV. The greens are getting firm very quick. I think they gave them a chance yesterday a little bit with the hole locations. The scores were pretty good early on. And I don't know if you'll see that as much today. I think some of the pin placements will be a little tougher, a little trickier, and so the scores maybe won't be quite as low. But you know, Louis is kind of my pick, I think. He's got just looks so comfortable out there. He hits the ball so well, such a beautiful golf swing, and he finally made a long putt there at 18 to get right in the mix.
Absolutely. I always pick Louis at these majors, and for some reason this week I didn't. So watch him win. But
that's right.
You know, when it comes to the final round of a major championship, it's so much about handling, you know, your nerves and focus and concentration. And you have some newer faces who are at the top of this leaderboard, along with some, you know, many players who have won major titles. So how do you handle the nerves when you get to the final round of a major championship?
Well, I didn't handle it very well. That's for sure. But try to believe that it's just another golf tournament. It's hard to imagine that. The press is all over everybody, certainly everybody up there at the top of the leaderboard. However, I think there's some players that are kind of under the radar, say. I'd look at a young player like this, Scottie Scheffler. I think he's somebody who could be a threat today. He drives the ball pretty long, drives it well. But I think that, you know, probably nobody's really talked to him a whole lot this week. Guys like that who maybe they just expect to fall away, you know, as the pressure builds. But, you know, you try to do a lot of mental gymnastics of just talk yourself into believing you can do this. And you need a few breaks. You need to have a hot putter today for sure. That's probably the bottom line. You got to make some putts.
Absolutely. You have to be so sharp with putting and just your overall short game. But Bryson DeChambeau is showing that you don't have to be, you know, dead accurate off the tee with his short game. What do you think of Bryson DeChambeau's power and the way he approaches these major championships?
Well, I have to give him a bunch of credit this year. It's hard enough to win two tournaments back-to-back or, you know, defend your title, but certainly the U.S. Open. There's only been a few people to do that. Curtis Strange, the last person to do that. So for what he's doing this week, he's decided that he just wants to get closest to the green that he possibly can. And, you know, if he's hitting wedges and sand wedges, nine irons into greens, he'd rather do that than hit a seven iron or six iron from the fairway. And he's not maybe as straight as he'd like to be, but I saw some pretty good drives down the stretch yesterday and hitting some fairways that are awfully tough to hit. So, you know, wouldn't discount him. Looked like he's rolling the ball well, making a lot of putts. Made a beautiful save at 14 yesterday, kind of kept his round going, and, you know, made another nice putt at 16, the par 3. So, you know, if he won, it wouldn't be a shock either.
Not at all. I mean, defending champion, he's only two shots back when he starts at 12:33 Pacific time. You know, this Matthew Wolff is an interesting study. He's only 22 years old, very unorthodox swing. And he, you know, he kind of took some time off this year after withdrawing from the PGA Championship and the Players Championship. He was DQ'd from the Masters for signing an incorrect scorecard. So he's had some issues this year, and I know you and Jan have raised a lovely family, but can you speak to the pressure and perhaps the expectations that many of these young stars, be it golf or tennis or any sport really, may be experiencing and how difficult it has been on them? You know, you have Matthew Wolff, the 22-year-old on the PGA Tour. You have Naomi Osaka. She's 23. She withdrew from the French Open. She's not playing Wimbledon. She said she just wants to focus on taking care of herself. Is there that much more pressure these days, Jay, than when you played on the PGA Tour?
You know, I don't know if there is any more pressure, but it's everyone notices so much more in today's world, you know, with the social media and things like that. And I think the expectations that we put on young players is unrealistic at some times. You know, the people are playing their hearts out, and when they don't succeed, like maybe they did, had a great run right early in their career, and then they don't play quite up to those expectations of everyone else, I think they feel like they've failed. And, you know, the self doubt that we all have, I think at some time or another, it manifests into something that is not productive. So, you know, I've been watching Matthew this week, and looks like he's has a very good calm about himself. And you know, you just can't, you have to have everything going for you, and you have to have that belief, and it seems like he's righted the ship for sure. I think everyone was a little concerned why his scores were like they were, and so we find out that he was having some mental issues or whatever it might be, and it seems like he's back on track and certainly a wonderful player. He's had great success early on. But the pressure is something that people deal with in a different way, and you know, not everybody conquers their fears.
And with social media the way it is, and it wasn't like that, you know, when you played the PGA Tour, I mean, you're just under the microscope in so many other ways, right? People are always taking your photo. Every single move is recorded, seemingly.
Right, and I do think that when a person has a certain success, say Jordan Spieth, how well he played so early in his career, I think everyone just expected that to happen every single year, and then maybe he just it played a little bit below that level, and now people are saying, what's wrong with Jordan? Why isn't he winning tournaments and all that? And you know, there's just so much that goes into playing well. So many good breaks have to happen. You have to be playing well tee to green. You have to be doing so many good things to win major tournaments. And so, you know, everybody's noticing now. You've got the Golf Channel on 24/7. Every golf tournament is televised Thursday through Sunday. Years ago, they show the last five holes maybe on Saturday and Sunday, and that was all we saw, and then boom, it was gone. So it's just so much more that the public is aware of now, and it can create doubt for the players, but it's also a good thing. You know, it's wonderful that our sport is at the forefront.
That's right. You can't hide. You can actually go back and watch every single shot of every player if you'd like with these apps now. It's incredible. Well, I know consistency has been your middle name. You played in 798 events. You made 592 cuts. How does one stay consistent in golf? What is the secret?
I don't know what that is, Ann. I tell you, I was just blessed. I think when I first started playing the PGA Tour, it was quite a bit different. There were not 125 exempt players. There were just 60 exempt players. You had to Monday qualify. You had to make the cuts. You had to finish top 10. You know, there were steps that the players at that era learned. It wasn't just come out with your hair on fire and win the first tournament. And I think the more the younger players do that now, it seems like they're more ready to win, you know, right when they come out from college. There are more places to compete. I don't know what the consistency, why I had that. I did a lot of things well, but nothing great. I just was pretty consistent. I wasn't a flashy player. I wasn't a long hitter off the tee. I had to put it in the fairway and hit greens. That was kind of my MO. I just tried to, you know, make pars, and I was a pretty good player in on hard golf courses in the U.S. Open. I didn't ever come real close in the U.S. Open, but I felt like the harder the course, the better it was for me. But I just, I don't know. I hated missing cuts. I know that. I hated to have nothing to do on the weekend, so I was grinding every single week to try to do that.
It's a grueling sport, you know. You said that word, grind. You grind it out every single day. I'll never forget how nice you were when I played in that Pro-Am at the Doral years ago, and you never forgot my name after that, Jay. So I really appreciate that.
Well, it's a memorable day, and I have a ton of fun playing in every Pro-Am that I play in. It's just fun to see people enjoying the game of golf. I think that everyone should be involved in the game. It's a great family game. It's a game you can play for the rest of your life. So I do remember that. You visited a lot of bunkers that day, and
thanks for remembering.
hopefully your bunker game has improved.
Yes, it has. Thank goodness. But yes, that was a lot of fun. We're talking a long time ago. But anyway, what's your next tournament, Jay?
We have a little run of a couple of our major tournaments are coming up. Next week is the Senior Players Championship, and we play that at Firestone in Akron, which is a wonderful, great old golf course, and look forward to playing that. And then a couple weeks after that, we play at the Senior U.S. Open, which is in Omaha at Omaha Country Club. A great support we got a few years ago. We played there. We probably had 30,000 to 40,000 people a day at that event, and it's going to be exciting there. In between those two tournaments is the Dick's Sporting Goods event in Binghamton, New York. So we've got a nice little three-week run here.
Well, have a happy Father's Day, Jay, and thanks so much for joining us on Talking Golf.
And always great to talk to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.